It's the longest running monthly retro review podcast on ThingsDezSays.net. Talking wrestling's most historic storylines,
pay-per-views,
biographies, and some of the best wrestling matches on the planet. Throwback vibes are
Do you current. Smell what The Rock is cooking?
I smell it.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Smell it.
Come on. Come on.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Yeah. Fine. The Rock has come.
Why do bringing down the smack? Why does every Method Man song start with the sound of someone walking?
I don't know.
Is that a thing he likes?
Even in Wu-Tang, it's like that.
Why?
I don't know.
Why are footsteps need... Why do they need to be taken?
Lord knows.
By the way, this off this entire album, this is like the only song that makes any sense.
Now, come on, the DX one makes sense.
I don't know.
DX one is awesome.
This is the only song where the guy is actually rapping about the wrestler.
Well, no, the Godfather one, he's rapping about being a chimp and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, this album.
This is quite the
album. Wonderful album.
Yes, it is.
They would never do this today, though.
Of course not.
Well,
no.
Unless you had Wiz Khalifa on it.
Oh, Jesus.
That would be really weird.
It's a thing, Sam.
You obviously haven't been paying attention then, because it's a thing.
It is a thing.
I know, but just to even think about that, that's, like, not normal.
Faraz and Sam are here on Throwback Vibes because there's an ECW thing that must be discussed, and Sam...
That's why she's here. I'm always here.
Faraz is here because... WWF was kicking WCW's ass in November of 1998.
I think Dez is glad that they were as well.
I am. I'm just happy to be doing Throwback Vibes again because we are. This is the second to last time where I have to subject myself to this torture.
And next month is the legendary Starrcade of 1998.
Oh yes.
Jesus Christ! It's almost over.
You can do this. You can do it, Dez. I have faith.
So we've
Dez has been ill. Let's be nice today. He's been ill this last week.
I have been ill. Not Beastie Boys level ill.
Not Illmatic.
No, not I don't know. But I have been sick because I was forced to watch World War III. What a
and
show!
And the build up to it.
Oh, the build up to it. This is this pay per view makes no sense. And we still have some pay per views like that today. In WWE, but this felt like a new level of we're building up to a pay-per-view that's building up to a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And knowing what that ultimate pay-per-view is makes me even more furious.
Yeah, I know. It's meant to be their biggest pay-per-view of the year.
And it was what it was.
It was what it was.
So let us take you back now to 1998 as we look at WWF, ECW, and yes, WCW with a special added treat this month because not only did Sam watch November to Remember, but she also watched, because we are terrible human beings, and we subjected her to the, I think it was with the Kayfabe commentaries.
It was.
The Kayfabe commentaries timeline of 1998 in ECW.
God.
With New Jack.
Yeah.
Cue the music. Yay. With Ice Cube and them.
How can that not be awesome?
So good time. Good times.
It had to have been, man.
It was, yeah.
I mean, getting to watch New Jack talk about all the people he doesn't like.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So fun.
All right. So we'll get to that. We'll balance it out. We have results for November to Remember. And because it was a show.
It was a show.
For
it's not a classic show, is it though?
I don't remember anything on that show.
You don't need to.
So let's just make sure we're on the same page. Faraz, you are in November, so I assume we're going through Survivor Series.
We are going through the Survivor Series, and we still have a champion yet. So we are guaranteed. Damn it, a new WWF champion.
Now, how many traditional Survivor Series matches were on Survivor Series 1998?
This was the first Survivor Series where there wasn't one.
Wow.
And we rain on it today because it's become a tradition now where they only have like one or two. Right. This one didn't have any because it was a tournament-style one. If anybody's seen WrestleMania 4, kind of like that.
Hmm. except without the
except for without the mega powers.
Yeah, and the implosion that followed.
But that was later on in life.
Yeah, but it was the beginnings of it for us. They planted the seeds, if you will.
I hated the mega powers. Actually, I don't hate Randy Savage. I just hate one half of the mega powers.
Let's try something new this month. Let's do a quick recap. But we last left our heroes. Whereas, if I'm not mistaken, we had a situation where there was no champion in WWE.
We haven't had a champion in the WWE for like 2 months now since Austin got stripped of the title. And if you recall, last month, Austin had to humble himself as a special guest referee by raising the hand of either The Undertaker or Kane as champion.
Right.
Or he will be fired.
Fired. And he, in fact, did not do either of those things.
No, so it's hunting season. Austin is now hunting for a job.
Right.
He was fired.
Oh, was he really?
He was fired. So we're not going to see Austin again for a while, I don't think.
No, we're never going to see him again. He's gone.
No.
He's finished. It's like later in life when John Cena got fired and he showed up on Raw every week.
Exactly.
Remember that?
Or like when Triple H got fired and he was back the next week running the show.
Maybe he'll wrestle under a mask under the name as a luchador like John Cena.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That might work.
He'll be Stone Cold Esteban Austin.
Exactly. Or he'll like dress up as a scorpion guy in all black.
Either way, I would hate that.
Why not? Why?
I don't know.
Scorpion was in... Oh, stupid.
Well, of course it was. When we last left WCW, we had Goldberg defending his title in a pretty meaningless but awesome match against DDP on the Halloween Havoc show. And we also had a horrific Warrior versus Hogan match.
Oh, Jesus.
And funny enough, the very next night on Nitro, apparently they had technical issues during the pay-per-view because it's WCW.
Of course.
And they said, we're going to show you, fans, tonight on this telecast, we will show you the DDP versus Goldberg match in its entirety. Now, mind you, they said...
So let me guess. They didn't... certain parts of the company didn't see the finish, did they?
That's basically what happened.
So this is why JR and King made the comments at Survivor Series that we will stick with this match, fans, until the end. And King said something like, yes, because we do that here in the WWF. JR said something like, King, that's not very nice. You shouldn't make fun of people less fortunate than yourself.
That's exactly what happened. Actually, not only did they not show that match, they also missed the finish to Hogan and Warrior.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
But they didn't mention that part because they didn't want to show that match again.
Wait, so hang on. This is the second time this year that they haven't shown the end of a pay-per-view.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Well, I think Starrcade last year, so.
Oh, yeah. That was last year, though.
Yeah.
So the second time in a year.
And when we last left ECW, people were hitting each other in the head with chairs.
It was chairs and barrels and someone was getting put through a ramp or something.
Probably. Oh, yeah. That was the last show we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you pay attention for us.
All right. No, I was... Sorry. I was looking at my notes for this show.
This
show's so ridiculous. Yes, I do. Shut up. Yes, I do. I made notes for the last two, and Des was very shocked the first time.
She's shocked now.
Off the air, she told me she didn't take notes for this show, so she's capable.
Yeah, she's lying. Yeah. It's clearly a lie.
Total.
No, I took notes. Yeah, no, he's right. I took notes for the New Jack timeline, though.
Just breaking kayfabe.
Right.
Oh, my God. Right. So, November to Remember.
Indeed.
Was a show.
Is that all you're going to say? Is November to Remember?
What do you remember?
Terry Funk was just, like, a prominent presence on this show. Like the whole beginning of the show was him running around the ring, calling out people, like one Tommy Dreamer.
Was he drunk?
I don't know.
Did he call him a satchel ass?
No, but he said his mother was a whore.
Awesome.
And then Paul Heyman came down and was like, stop. And he was like, no.
I can't imagine Paul Heyman just said the word stop.
No, it was much longer and more epic than that.
He would say it in a much more verbose manner.
Yeah.
Well, we know how I am with these long ECW stories, so I'm trying to cliff note it this time and be a good, you know, not long-winded person, but Lord knows I can't do that.
As you just proved. Jesus.
Yeah, right?
In fact.
So the first couple matches just didn't matter at all.
Wait, so what was the result of Terry Funk being a dick? Was there a match made out of it?
No, he was just doing color commentary with Joey Styles.
Oh, Okay.
So what was the point of that then?
I don't like that was I don't know. He was like running around the ring during the first match, which was Blue Meanie, of course. And Supernova. Yes.
Blue Meanie and Supernova. You know what? I could use a distraction during that match.
Against Danny Doring and Roadkill.
Yeah, I could definitely.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely. Yeah.
God bless Terry Funk.
What?
God bless Terry Funk.
God bless him. He's middle-aged and crazy.
Oh, God. Those are the that's the best kind of crazy, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Blue Meanie and Supernova won because everybody totally cares about that match.
Yeah.
And then the next match was even worse. It was the Tracy Smothers FBI everybody blah 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 and that whole crew versus Tommy Rogers and what the hell was his name now? Chris Chetty.
Oh, Chris Chetty.
Oh, really?
Come on now. I think you've done this before to poor Chris Chetty. You're always forgetting this guy.
You're forgetting the poor man.
He tries so hard to entertain you and you just forget him.
Well, here's the funny part. I have not, like, it's been a while since I've actually seen him because he wasn't on Heat Wave and, like, at all.
Well, how do you know he wasn't there? He might have been there in the audience.
You might have forgotten him again.
Yeah.
Maybe he was watching on the monitors like New Jack talked about, like they was talking about in the New Jack timeline, wrestlers watching other wrestlers on the monitors backstage.
Did ECW really afford monitors, though?
Apparently.
All right.
Apparently they had them because the guy asked him, you know, would wrestlers run out to the curtain or would they watch on the monitors? And he was very adamantly like they would watch on the monitors.
Vince must have let them.
But he did not, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, he did not. He didn't care.
No, he, as in his words, I didn't want nobody.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
He didn't have any teeth?
He sounds like he doesn't have any teeth anymore, I swear. He totally does.
He didn't watch nobody.
He didn't watch nobody.
He doesn't sound like he'd be a supportive man.
No, he was not very a supportive he was not a very supportive colleague, unless you were in the drug department.
I wonder how much money he made off that interview.
I was wondering that, too.
By the way,
not much, though, probably.
We're going to ask you for some highlights later, Sam, for what New Jack said, because this documentary, or this interview, my God.
This is the one that they should have had on the WWE Network last week.
I agree. WWE Network should just buy all kayfabe commentaries' interviews and put them on there.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be awesome.
Be epic.
Although they're completely in some random order, because the 2008 timeline's coming out soon from the WWE. I'm like, huh?
Who did the 2008 timeline?
Oh, Kurt Hawkins, I think.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right.
He was anywhere near the main event scene to know what was happening
just
in 2008.
Why?
he's going to talk about the epic Jeff Hardy face run, and he was nowhere near it.
Yeah, he was nowhere.
But he was in La Familia, wasn't he?
Yeah, he kind of was, I guess, to be fair.
He was an edgehead.
They should get Edge to do some timelines.
You think he'd do it?
No, he's too loyal.
Yeah.
Bitch. All right.
I think it's Shawn Michaels to do it.
That would be awesome. They should get Sean to do,
1990s. Oh, no, they've done 1997 already.
He wouldn't remember any of it.
Exactly.
Who did they get? They got,
Jim Cornette did it.
Oh, Jim Cornette. They got Brett to do 92, didn't they?
Yeah.
Why didn't they get Brett to do 97?
Why do you think?
Well, I think, you know, they're like, Brett, let's talk about 1997, and they just not ask him about November.
Yeah.
Just be like,
it's completely boring.
We'll go January through October, and then December.
No, you've got to ignore January, too, because that was Sean's Lost His Smile period.
Oh, okay. And then December's like, oh, Brett, so then you left for some reason in December, and you went to WCW in January. What happened there?
They should get him to do WCW in 1998.
Oh, Christ. Who did that?
I don't know. I don't think it's out yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, if it comes out, I'll review it just for shits.
Anyway. Let's get back to this.
All right. What else happened on this November to Remember show?
Oh, God. A whole lot of not very much exciting stuff happened.
Okay. Thanks for being on the show.
Were there any titles on the line?
The tag team were.
Who was tag team champions at this point?
It was the Dudleys versus Masato Tanaka and Balls Mahoney.
Ah, that sounds like it was a deadly match.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, God. Never again. That was terrible.
Now, approximately how many tables were destroyed in this battle?
A billion. It was so many tables just destroyed. Oh, and they had the longest entrance ever again.
Of course.
Of course they did.
Again. Ridiculous.
ECW is all about like 30-minute entrances.
Yeah,
and Terry Funk said he was going home forever. Forgot about that.
I don't think I don't think that's a true thing. I think he came back.
I know.
He always says things like that.
He does.
He's going home, and then he always comes back.
They made a whole documentary about that called Beyond the Mat. You guys should check it out sometime.
Exactly. It's on YouTube.
Yes. Directed by the great Barry Blaustein.
Indeed.
Oh, God.
What are you ogling? Don't object to Barry Blaustein. He's a great man.
He's a wonderful man.
He's a nice man.
He also made the wonderful documentary Bloodstained Memoirs.
Yeah, he did.
Which was kind of like a sequel.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's not as good.
Yeah. It doesn't have the emotion of Mick Foley getting smacked in the head like 10 times in front of his...
Hey, that's next year.
Right?
By which one we'll be done.
You'll be done. We will have
Thank God.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about WCW now.
Okay, you want me to leave the WWF for now?
Yeah, let's leave the stuff that's actually entertaining for last.
Yeah,
right. To be honest, the New Jack timeline was a little more entertaining than this show. Yeah. This show was like crazy and made no sense. The New Jack timeline was just like
crazy and made no sense,
but in a different way.
Well, I'm gonna let you get your thoughts together on this, Sam. Tell us. After we do WCW, tell us some of the people that New Jack decided to call out and talk shit on, because I'm sure he had a lot of those people.
Everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
But I will be more specific as soon as we're done with this.
I was watching the Nitro after Halloween Havoc, and I think they forgot. That they had a pay-per-view after. Like, I think they just forgot that they had a November show. I think they, too, were excited to watch Survivor Series.
Of course they were.
That Nitro, there was no mention of a pay-per-view. Bret Hart, for some reason, immediately adopted a new gimmick where he just injured everyone. Can you imagine Bret Hart being a psycho killing machine? Because that's what he was for these next couple of weeks. He was just injuring everyone. DDP beat him for the U.S. title in the main event, and then Bret Hart just killed him afterward.
Right.
Yes. So that was a big thing. Judy Bagwell's back for some reason. I don't know. She was hurt. She was injured. She was knocked off the apron in a tag team match, and so she was sent to the hospital.
What?
I don't know, Fries. This is all.
Why do they keep bringing her back anyway?
I don't know. Is that really his mother?
No.
Oh, that would have been
at least
awesome.
I don't think so.
I would have loved if it was.
That would be hilarious.
That's
actually
a great mom.
Yeah. Takes bumps and everything.
Also, I can't tell you how many times throughout this build-up to World War III, I can't tell you how many times I saw the Latino World Order.
ILWO.
They had so many run-ins that led to so many disqualifications. I was just... They were the Kane of 1998 in WCW.
They were!
They just... So many useless disqualifications.
Bless his heart.
I didn't get it.
The LWO.
The LWO.
As if there weren't enough factions in WCW.
And that particular LWO thing, it eventually led to Eddie Guerrero beating Rey Mysterio in a match where if Rey Mysterio lost, he would have to join the LWO.
Yes, because he was resisting for the longest time.
Yeah, he was for like 2 whole hours. And he lost because Juventud Guerrero accidentally... hit Ray while he was trying to help him. And, there was a payoff at the pay-per-view that we'll get to. And it's not exactly satisfying.
Oh, is it ever, though?
It's not the Snickers of WCW payoffs.
Oh, dear. So the juice was being not very helpful.
He was trying his best.
Bless his heart.
We also had Hulk Hogan trying to be president.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
By the way, Warrior... had one appearance on the following Nitro and then was never seen again. So
until 2008.
Yes. And so they said, well, what should we have Hulk Hogan do now? Let's have him be president.
So of WCW?
In WCW.
Ah, I know where this leads. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he wanted to be president, and we got weeks and weeks of just annoying segments with Hulk
Hogan. Was it just a segment-filled show with not many matches?
Yeah, and actually, I think Sting got hurt because I'm just now realizing that I didn't see Sting on the show like at all for like 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, because the night before he got beaten the crap out of by Bret Hart on that bat.
Yeah, he did. So I'm wondering if those were legit injuries or if they were actually doing something smart and keeping him off TV to sell the injuries, which is never done anymore.
No. Well, no.
No, never done. So anyway, what's happening over there?
Right. We are the night after Judgment Day, and Vince McMahon is throwing a pretty nice shindig.
Well, Austin's gone. What would you expect?
Exactly. So, you know, he comes out and he's still in his wheelchair. So see, look, Vince McMahon is still selling that broken ankle that he got in October. And, you know, he says that no one should cross the boss. And now that, you know, those 316 t-shirts that people are wearing,
yeah,
they're collector's items now. You're never going to see Austin again.
Yeah, they are.
And then, you know, McMahon 316 is running things now. And he should never cross the boss. And basically, Austin was, he was around in the parking lot.
All right. At least he didn't get inside the building.
No, no, he's not in the building. He's outside in the parking lot. With a gun and a hunting bow.
Oh, no way. He had a gun again? He needs to stop with the gun.
Yeah, but he lives on a ranch. Come on now.
All right.
So, you know, by this point, Mr. McMahon is kind of panicking a bit. You know, damn it, Austin is there.
Damn it.
Damn it. He wants protection, damn it, damn it. Now, during this show, you know, Austin bribes the policeman. Well, he doesn't bribe them. He just, you know, is nice to them, gives them autographs, and they leave him alone. He's not breaking the law.
That's true.
He's just there.
Yeah, he's hanging out in the parking lot.
He's hanging out. No, he's not going to hurt anybody, you know. So, you know, McMahon tries to leave the building, and he escapes. Ah, there was a comedic moment with Mick Foley, where he tries to get Mr. McMahon to play Twister.
Ah.
Wonderful.
That is quite great comedy. Yes.
Yeah. And he wants McMahon to rehire Austin so they can become the new clique. Him? No. There's four of them. You don't understand this. There's Mick Foley, Mr. McMahon, Austin, and Socko.
Ah,
the new clique.
I love it.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? That'd be hilarious. So he gets annoyed with Mick and throws him out of his dressing room. And, you know, he called Austin basically... Somehow, you know how in WWE or in any wrestling company, the phones are mic'd?
Yes.
I wonder how that happens.
Reason. I don't know.
Mm.
It's pretty
sophisticated stuff.
Yeah, I gotta say.
Yeah. So Austin basically calls McMahon and threatens him. And, you know, it's not over yet. And McMahon tries to leave and tries to get into his limo, but he's accosted by one Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He called Vince McMahon?
He called him.
So he went and he sought out a payphone and he called Vince McMahon.
No, I think he called him from his truck.
Oh, he had a phone in his truck.
Yeah. Come on, this is Stone Cold.
That's true.
He can pay for these things in 1998.
He had a truck phone.
Yeah.
Because those things were back then, you needed money for that.
Exactly, but he's Stone Cold. He had the money.
Yeah, awesome.
So McMahon was then kidnapped by Stone Cold and dragged back into the arena, into the depths of the arena. And Austin did various things to him, like things like threatened him with a knife, made him oink like a pig, which is one of my highlights.
Oink, damn it. Oink.
Has anybody ever seen the movie Misery?
No.
He basically tied a board to between Mr. McMahon's legs and went to go and find a hammer. I don't need to say anymore.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he didn't do anything, though.
Well, I would hope.
Of course. And then he decided he wanted to play Russian roulette with Mr. McMahon's life. It was like, there was a casket match on Raw between an Undertaker and Kane. Yes, another one. Because, you know, they haven't had many matches in 1998.
They had a lot of casket matches and things. 1998.
Yeah. So, you know, they had one of these, and if Mr. McMahon won, Mr. McMahon's pick won, they would do things the easy way. But if his pick lost, they would do things the hard way.
What would be the easy way?
Hmm.
I hate how people never clarify these things.
I know. Mr. McMahon never clarified it earlier in the year.
Yeah, they're very vague with their easy and hard ways.
Yes. Now, this is a very infamous Raw for one reason and one reason only. What, obviously, Austin takes McMahon out to the ring. He puts a gun to his head. And when he he pulls the trigger, and what comes out? A paper, which says, bang, 316. And McMahon pees himself. It's a wonderful.
Oh, man. The things that Vince McMahon does for his own company.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
And he also got Austin also gave him a legal document before he pulled the trigger. And the thing is, right, Austin pulls the trigger twice, so McMahon pees himself again. Bless his heart. Like, he doesn't learn the first time.
Bang 316.
Bang 316.
I love it.
See, this is WWF. See, it kept you interested because the show overall wasn't very good, but that one overriding storyline was wonderful.
Yeah.
He just kept you interested. That's all they needed.
I just want to know, is Mark Merrow still feuding with Sable?
Yes.
Oh, my God. When does this end?
Wow.
We are going to have a match at Survivor Series for the women's title. Because that's a thing now. Between Mark Merrow, between Jacqueline, accompanied by Mark Merrow, and Sable.
Damn it.
Wow.
Will this at least be over by the time we finish the series? I hope.
I'm not sure what happens at Rock Bottom next month.
I don't want to be left hanging, you know, wondering for the rest of my life what happened between Mark Merrow and Sable and Jacqueline.
See, once Triple H comes into power, there's no room for people like Johnny B. Badd in the WWE.
Right?
I was watching an old Nitro from like 95. Johnny B. Badd was over. I was shocked.
Who? Really?
They loved Johnny B. Badd in 1995.
And then what happened?
I don't know. And then he left. But
it's all Dusty's fault. I blame Dusty.
Hey, buddies.
Buddies.
Yeah, I was shocked. All right. So when did they announce this tournament for Survivor Series?
It's being announced next week.
I see.
Yes. Okay, so next, the week after that, McMahon, he's not a happy bunny.
I bet not. I would
know. He's not.
I would be angry.
Now,
angry bunny.
At this point, he's not happy. You know who he's not happy with? He's not happy with the people. Because the people didn't help him. Considering they were in a completely different building last week in a different state. The people didn't help him.
They didn't jump the rail.
Bad people.
So, you know, if Vince McMahon hates the people, he's going to hate the people's champion.
That is a fact. That makes sense.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously The Rock has to do all kinds of things now to just make sure he gets into the WWF Championship tournament. So he's put in a match with Ken Shamrock. And if he doesn't win, he will not be in said tournament.
Uh-oh.
This is bad.
And he doesn't win.
Oh, no.
Ken Shamrock beats him. Therefore, The Rock is not in the WWF Championship tournament. Now, Austin is also given a new contract.
Oh, that was
but
fast.
The name on the contract, the name on the contract is a McMahon, but not Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
It's Shane O'Mac.
This sounds like something they did 3 years later.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. However, come on. Now, Vince isn't a happy man because, you know, his own son has betrayed him.
Vince is the owner of the company. Why can't he just fire Austin again?
And fire his son.
Yeah, but remember, Shane is also a co-owner. He's got rights.
Ah.
I see.
Yes. But Vince McMahon is a very vindictive man. And, you know, because of his beloved son has, you know, helped given Austin a new 5-year contract, he's made Shane McMahon a lowly referee.
Ah.
Yeah, you know, but to be fair, you know, Shane's got to work himself up. Come on now. He can't just be an owner.
Yeah, he's got to start from the bottom.
He's got to start from the bottom. I mean, Vince has already given him a leg up. He's not setting up the ring, at least.
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, he's a referee now, bless him. At least he's not commentating on Heat anymore.
Oh, God.
Or on WWF Attitude video game.
Oh, God, that was horrible. It was a terrible... God. You know the worst thing about that game? They didn't mention any moves.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. There was no move references. Now, Austin is also wanting to be in this WWF Championship tournament match. And if he is also put in a match, and if he doesn't win, then he won't be in the tournament. But he wins because he's Austin. And you know, yeah. Shane McMahon being a referee can, you know, pull strings and whatnot.
Things. There you go.
Yeah. You know how you were saying Kane is just there causing disqualifications?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all he's been doing for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
Just choke slamming random people because he's mad because Paul Bearer is now back with the Dead Man. And they are, and the Undertaker has told us, Dez, he's told us, and he's told us, Sam, that he's building this ministry.
The ministry, oh no.
This ministry of he calls it a ministry of darkness.
The creepy one with the Latin and the...
Yeah, that's the one.
The Gregorian chanting.
See, Kane was...
He's always
getting,
had the Gregorian chanting, to be
Kane
fair.
Was getting people disqualified in 1998, and he's also getting people disqualified in 2014.
Yeah, he is. Kane's job description hasn't changed much, has it?
No, I hate Kane.
No.
Oh, Kane.
Oh, and Undertaker's admitted that he's the one that set the fire about a year late. Thanks.
Oh, really? Thanks. He set the fire? I never knew that.
We were all wondering.
Why did he set the fire?
I don't, because he's Undertaker. He likes doing things of a mischievous nature.
But he did it as a teenager, didn't he?
Yes, but he was also a teenage Undertaker. What do you want?
That's true. I'd be terrified of a teenage Undertaker.
Yes. Now,
I know who's victim of like puberty.
Undertaker, but hormonal.
Rest. He's hold on.
He's looking like he's looking for Clearasil because he's got bad acne.
In his little. That is the best.
He's trying to.
Image.
That's why he wears so much foundation because that's why his face is so white because he's just trying to clear up, you know, trying to hide the acne scars.
I am in the ministry of. My voice cracked again. God damn it.
There you go. He had to work on that voice, that deep voice thing.
He had to make it. He had to build it.
He was just born with an awesome voice, you know.
Of course he was.
Rest in peace as a baby.
Yeah, he was.
That was his first word. Those were his first words. Rest in peace.
He was born.
Rest in peace. Now give me my bottle. He just stared down his mom for his bottle.
Oh yeah, he was mean Mark. He was born as Mean Mark, wasn't he?
Mean Mark Calloway.
Yeah, that's who he was.
Actually, he was the Punisher for a while in Memphis.
He was. There was me. He was the Punisher, and then Mean Mark, and then randomly Kane the Undertaker, but they dropped the Kane part.
Yeah, what?
It was a Bruce Pritchard idea, right? Shut up.
No, I'll excuse it then.
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
brother love.
So shall we get some tidbits from what New Jack had to say, Sam?
Yes.
Okay, so New Jack, it was like a tell-all, basically, of the underground doings of ECW, which makes sense as to why the company makes no sense.
What did New Jack have to say about it?
To be fair, I watched a bit of this. They talked nothing about 1998.
No, they did not at all. It was basically a fucking tell-all. Pardon my fridge, but it was a tell-all. Like, he left nothing out. The seedy underground drug scene that everyone knew about but was never really spoken of until New Jack came out with stuff that had happened.
Oh, really?
When they were partying. Like,
oh, they didn't talk about ECW Exposed last week?
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, because really nobody knew that they were doing a bunch of drugs in a promotion that was built on thumbtacks and table spots.
Oh, I know, right?
Des, did you know that Tammy Lynn Sitch wasn't faithful? Did you know this?
I had no idea.
What?
You need to.
No idea.
I'm shocked right now.
Des is in shock.
It's unfortunate that this is an audio podcast because I'm making my shocked face right now.
Me too.
Oh my god. He's doing the Ric Flair face when the Shockmaster fell.
Oh, oh god.
Let's see.
It should have worked.
It should have worked.
Only Anderson's like laughing while he's trying to do a mean voice.
So he actually talked about Tammy.
Oh, I bet he did.
And all of them getting to this like big ass bar brawl with a bunch of random people. Apparently they did that a lot.
Well, that sounds good.
Bar brawls.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's unfortunate though, because New Jack is not the most articulate of fellows, as I told Faraz earlier today.
That is a fact.
No, he doesn't articulate very well.
It was really difficult, honestly, to understand what the fuck he was talking about.
Are you saying he should not start a podcast on podcast one?
No! No, I don't think they'd allow him on podcast one.
You wouldn't want to hear New Jack telling you to use Lumosity?
You also? Can you imagine New Jack promoting other people's podcasts?
Yes.
And his dorky ass laugh.
Oh, New
he can you imagine him promoting JR's podcast or someone else?
No.
Oh, geez.
Jericho's?
No. He had a very interesting relationship with Paulie.
Ah. How did he feel about Paulie? What were his thoughts on him at this point?
They were, as most stuff was in this timeline, very disjointed. But he did tell one very specific story where he was involved in this whole lawsuit.
That was an ECW? Oh, yeah, of course they did.
They
had
lawyers?
What?
Yeah. Paul Heyman's a lawyer. He's the son of a lawyer.
Right? And someone had called him the N-word, and they were talking about it.
Because he's never used that word before in his life.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And they were like, they asked, Paul Heyman was up there testifying, and they asked him what had happened. And there was only one black juror in the room. It was this old 80-year-old guy. And
oh no,
he was kind of sleeping a little on this case. And as soon as this came up, he perked up right away.
Of course he did.
And Paul, I guess, went over to Jack and whispered, because he's like, what did you call him? And he was like,
Oh, boy.
And the judge is like, you can say it. And he kind of gives New Jack this look like, I don't know. And then he goes over and whispers, sorry, Jack. And then tells him what he called them. And Jack just thought that that was the funniest thing in the history of life. He laughed about it for like 10 minutes. Ridiculous. 15 minutes were spent on this fucking story.
He loved that story.
He did. He did. And he said him and Paul Heyman had a good laugh about it later. But he and Paul seemed to have a very decent relationship. A lot better than what he had with other people. I don't think
AKA Taz.
Right.
What did he call Taz? Do you remember? He called him, and I quote, he called him a chubby white boy.
That's right, a chubby white boy. He called so many people so many things that I just got lost in this whole spectrum of hatred that he has for everyone. But he doesn't seem to have that for Paul Heyman.
No, good. I feel like it's hard to hate Paul Heyman.
We've called Taz a badass on the show before, haven't we?
We have.
Apparently he's not one, though.
Oh, according to New Jack.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty badass.
To New Jack, he isn't one.
Right?
And according to New Jack, Taz wasn't very good at putting people over, which doesn't, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
I think that was more of a Paul Heyman thing than it was a Taz thing.
Taz thing? That's what I'm saying.
It seemed, the way New Jack talked about it, it seemed like a lot of the wrestlers had a lot of creative control in the company, like with Heyman as well.
Yeah.
Which was kind of interesting.
Heyman was very open to that, I think, letting people just kind of, you know, you want to try something, let's try it.
They were definitely an interesting, it's definitely a different company, like the ECW now, well, the ECW in 2000, hey? You know,
oh,
2006 had a lot more structure. We all know why that was, but the ECW then just was kind of just it wasn't necessarily a democracy, but it wasn't a dictatorship either. Like, everybody had something, you know, some sort of piece in this, but it just kind of ended up being a circus.
Yeah. No, that
it's
makes
the way,
sense.
It's the way, that's pretty much what I got out of this. But yeah, New Jack really, he didn't really like anybody. He talked about Tommy Dreamer a little bit. He talked about the
How
Sandman.
How not like
really
Tommy Dreamer, though?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, nobody can hate Paul Heyman, I don't think, but
no,
Tommy Dreamer seems like a great guy, too.
He really does. Because I don't know if he was on, if New Jack was on something during this, because he went from, like, liking Tommy Dreamer to, like, not, I don't, it was weird. But I think if he doesn't have respect for anybody, but the closest thing to respect went to Paul Heyman. They talked about the Sandman as well.
He can't have an issue with a Sandman.
Come on now.
The Sandman was a drunk half the time.
Right? Well, he was asked if he did have an issue with the Sandman getting, because he was laughing about stories with the Sandman. But he asked if he had issue with the Sandman being fucked up when he was in the ring and, you know, causing imminent danger. And he said there was only one time when Sandman hit him in the head.
Well, I wouldn't be appreciative of that either.
No.
Unless you're Vince McMahon, who likes being hit in the head.
You know, the funny thing that I get out of this is that New Jack isn't even the most bitter guy in wrestling. Like, there are people.
Oh, no.
There are so many
infinite.
No, there are.
Like when
Kevin Nash.
Like when Ole Anderson.
Not even Kevin Nash.
Ole Anderson.
Oh, God. Oh, yes. You're right. Yes.
You wish death on Ric Flair.
See, that's a no-no in Desi's book. You don't do
how
that.
How do you wish death on Ric Flair? Like, he just seems like...
Ric Flair owes him money.
He seems crazy, but I could not imagine anybody actually wishing death on the man.
Ric Flair is a crazy man. He does crazy things.
He owes him money, that's why.
He's a crazy man,
but he doesn't seem like he's a good guy, like, in nature.
I wouldn't say that.
I've heard some stories.
Yeah.
About the wife thing and the roadie.
Not even the wife thing. Some of the other stuff that he's done backstage.
He's not the nicest man in the world, but I'd still hang out with him.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd party.
Teddy Long wouldn't hang out with him, apparently, but
well, that's Teddy
Long.
It's
like somebody who wished death on Eddie Guerrero. Like why? Why did you do that?
Who did
like,
that?
Who wished death
no,
on
I
Eddie
was comparing.
Guerrero?
No, I was comparing.
That's a bad comparison.
I was going to say.
Well, one of them actually is dead, so that's a weird conversation to have.
Yeah, and it's kind of strange.
9 years.
Can we move on now?
Moving on.
Speaking of Eddie Guerrero.
That's right. He was a big part of the Latino World Order. he had no involvement in the buildup to World War III, except for the fact that, again, he just kept costing people matches for no apparent reason.
Was this when he came back from his injury? The neck injury?
Oh, he'd been back for a while.
Yeah, okay. But he had a little bit of a multiple personality disorder for a while.
That's right.
I don't remember that. Maybe perhaps that's late.
You weren't paying attention, I don't think.
Well, he finished up his feud with Chavo.
Right.
And Chavo was crazy. And Chavo is coming out with a stick horse called Pepe.
Oh, yeah.
Remember this?
God.
Oh, Pepe.
I lived this. I was there.
You were there for this. The announcers would just like sell it like it was a normal thing. Like, oh, he's coming to the ring with Pepe.
It's like, remember the LOD used to come out with a dummy in the WWE for a while?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Rocco?
Was his name Rocco or something?
Yeah, Rocco. God, they just did everything to ruin the Legion of Doom, didn't they?
They really did.
Oh, man. So, yeah, they kept building to that. We got to the go-home show for World War III, and we still had no idea what was on the show except for the Battle Royal, obviously. And,
oh, is this the 60-man over the 60-man one?
60-man, three rings.
And they must have used a big arena for that, man.
Right.
Also, they had.
Where was this?
It was in Auburn.
It was somewhere
Hills,
in Ohio, wasn't it?
No, Auburn Hills, Michigan.
Oh, Auburn Hills, Michigan.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Also on the show, we knew we had Rey Mysterio challenging the Cruiserweight champion. Who that was, we would not know until the end of Nitro, because there was Billy Kidman versus Juventud Guerrera.
How old was Billy Kidman at this point?
Was he getting there? He was getting there, but he was having really good matches, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie Guerrero called him a cream puff once. I just remember that. He's screaming at the top of his fucking voice, "How can you not beat a cream puff?" I was like, what the fuck?
I miss Eddie Guerrero.
Me too. I want to do a 10-year anniversary of him next year, if we could. That'd be really cool.
So they did the match, and Hoovy won, so they had Hoovy as champion.
That makes sense now, doesn't it? Rey Mysterio versus Hoovy.
So yeah, it's Rey versus Hoovy at the pay-per-view.
Oh, because that hasn't happened like 16 million times this year.
Never.
But it was fine. Boy, did they tear it up at that pay-per-view.
Of course. They always did.
Also,
I wonder how many surgeries Rey Mysterio had by this point.
Many.
Oh, you just come back from one, hadn't he?
Yeah, he just came back. Also on the show, Bam Bam Bigelow arrived.
Oh, the Beast from the East.
Yeah. He hadn't been there, I don't think, ever or in years.
In years?
Double company duty this month.
He shows up.
Oh?
Wait, what?
He was on November to Remember, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then. He shows up and he demands to fight Goldberg.
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on. Bam Bam wasn't the worst big guy in the world.
I like
Bam Bam a lot. It's Goldberg.
Bam Bam was actually a really good worker, you know, I think, for his size.
Nah, it's Goldberg. That's why I said that. I love Bam Bam. Right.
You
not
leave Goldberg
lie.
Alone. He was awesome. He was great.
As a 10-year-old wisp, I enjoyed Goldberg's work.
Yes. As an adult,
silly boy.
As an adult, I try and avoid his work like the plague. Like an Ebola virus.
Even as a kid, I never enjoyed Hulk Hogan's work, but I can enjoy...
No, neither did I. I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
but I can enjoy Goldberg.
As a kid, yeah, he was fun. But Goldberg I never got, even as a child.
So, he wants to fight Goldberg. J.J. Dillon says, no. Then they go to commercial.
Oh, he's back again, is he?
Oh, we'll get there in a second. He's not back for long.
Oh?
They go to commercial, they come back. Bam Bam has started this giant brawl in the ring. He demands Goldberg. Goldberg comes out. A bunch of security comes out. Goldberg is ready to fight Bam Bam, but security won't let him. And then Eric Bischoff comes out.
Fuck already. Are you ruining everything?
Eric Bischoff shows up and he fires J.J. Dillon.
I didn't think Eric Bischoff had that authority.
I didn't either, but apparently he does. Which
Why did you fire him? Okay, so let me ask you this question now, Des. Why didn't he fire J.J. Dillon when he made that match between Sting and Hogan in January?
Why didn't he fire J.J. Dillon when J.J. Dillon accused the NWO of using a referee to cheat back in January?
Indeed.
I don't know.
What the hell?
But they did. Also, for some reason, Eric Bischoff is feuding with Scott Hall. I don't really get that.
Oh, are they done with the Kevin Nash feud then?
I'm so confused. I'll explain this when we get to the pay-per-view, but I was left holding my head in confusion.
Also, have they poured alcohol down his throat yet?
No.
They
have not done that yet. Sam, stop it.
Did my mic come disconnected? Sorry.
No.
Shut up.
Your mic.
All right, so.
Should I? Are you done with?
Let's go to Vince.
Are you done with Atlanta?
I'm done with Atlanta.
Okay. Now, Shane McMahon is using his lowly refereeing powers to basically get at his father. Now, The Rock had another chance somehow to get back into the Survivor Series Championship tournament. Because, you know, The Rock's he's a very violent man when he doesn't get his way sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So The Rock had a match, and he somehow managed to wheedle his way back into the WWF Championship tournament. They didn't say as much on commentary. But he is in the tournament. Now, Mick Foley. God bless him. Mick Foley is Vince McMahon's puppet now. Because, you know, Vince McMahon, you know, he appreciated what Mick Foley did for him.
Right.
You know, he went to the hospital and wanted to play Twister and whatnot.
Twister, though.
And whatnot.
And whatnot. Yes.
Quite.
So he gave Mick Foley a present.
Gave
him this old raggedy-ass belt with tape on it.
What was this piece of crap called?
It's called the WWF Hardcore Championship. And Mick Foley is officially christened the Hardcore Legend. The King of Hardcore. Because, you know, Terry Funk has never used that moniker before.
Right.
Now, Mick Foley... Also, Vince McMahon also gives him a corporate makeover.
Uh-oh.
He has a shave. Vince McMahon buys him a nice tux to wrestle in. Some Gucci loafers.
Oh my God.
Mick Foley is officially a corporate puppet.
Yeah.
God Gucci. Bless him.
And you know what the best thing about it is? Mick Foley has no idea that Vince McMahon is using him as a pawn.
Really? How do you not know that?
Because he's Mick Foley.
How many Mick Foley, bless him, is so trusting and
nice.
Loving?
Yeah.
He's Santa Claus, for heaven's sake.
He's loving, except for the times that, you know, he gets thrown off a cell and then he smiles.
And
he's smiling.
And tries to kill JR.
Right.
Nearly kills Triple H a couple of times.
Yeah, he asked for it, though.
That time he did, yeah.
Yeah.
Has an awesome match with Shawn Michaels at Mind Games. Has anybody seen that, by the way?
Yeah.
Great match. And then they ruined it with the finish. Anyway.
Ruined.
Right. Getting back to 1998, not 1996. So, Mick Foley will be in the WWF Championship Tournament, along with such notable names as Jeff Jarrett, X-Pac, Triple H, who doesn't appear because he's injured. Bless him, he's got a knee injury. Oh, by the way, Mark Henry has sued China.
He sued her?
Yes. Do you want to know what for?
What for?
For sexual harassment.
Oh boy.
This storyline, Des.
How has Mark Henry lasted till 2014?
Right?
I have no idea. Right. Also, a new man has debuted in the WWF.
Oh no.
A real man.
A real man.
A real man's man?
A real man's man, Des.
He's not a puppet?
A real man's man who's a straight up gangster trippin'?
Yes, boy.
Yes, boy.
This is a horrible gimmick for him, bless his heart. Steven Regal, aka William Regal. If you didn't know, or if you're stupid, is debuted in the WWF at this time.
I love this guy.
He's a man's man.
Such a man.
Awesome.
Ken Shamrock was also in this tournament. They're slowly turning Ken Shamrock heel, by the way. It's about bloody time as well. Yeah. Ken Shamrock as a babyface just didn't work for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, he should.
And how long was he a babyface for? Like a while, right?
For a long time.
Ever since he came in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always felt like the babyface shooter gimmick was always weird.
Mm, it was. I always found it strange. So they're slowly turning him heel because he's just attacking people randomly now. Obviously, Undertaker and Kane are in the championship tournament. But guess what, Des? They get a bye.
Why do they
in the
get
first
a bye?
Round? Because you know why? Because Vince McMahon wants them to face each other in the quarterfinals, you see.
Ah, what a manipulative, vindictive man this Vince McMahon is.
And he's not going to name Mick Foley's opponent until we get to the Survivor Series.
The Survivor Series.
Yes, it is the Survivor. It's not Survivor. It's the Survivor Series.
The Survivor Series.
A deadly game. It was deadly game. Yes. Oh, and we're also going to have a women's match between those two, the only two women in the WWF at the time. Because God knows there wasn't anybody else.
Oh, no.
Righto.
Righto.
Oh, and guess who else is Goldust is in this tournament as well. Now, Goldust is having a little bit of trouble with his wife, who is pregnant by, we don't know whom.
Uh-oh.
It could be...
Yeah.
It could be Val Venus. By the way, Val is a girl's name. I don't know why they gave him that name. Anyway. I just thought of that now.
Did Yamaguchi-san get her pregnant?
No, Yamaguchi-san was up there.
Yamaguchi-san.
Oh, don't remind me, please. Oh, no. Oh, I've just gotten over it. So we don't know who the father. It could be one Dustin Reynolds, aka Goldust, or whatever, or it could be Val Venus, and she's kind of playing both sides right now. Bless her heart.
Mm. Well, of course she is.
Yeah.
So, should I do Deadly Games now, or should we do more ECW?
I think we're done with WCW, right? I mean ECW.
The last match. It was
a six man, wasn't it?
Yeah. Let's do the triple threat versus Sabu. Rob Van Dam.
Yep.
With my favorite person ever. I just got that now.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, that amused me greatly. Thank you. With my favorite manager ever. And I am blanking on who their third was at this current moment, and I don't know why I'm blanking on it.
Was it a Lance Storm?
No.
Was it? Oh, no, sorry, that was 1999.
That was 99.
Are you saying it was not Landstorm?
No, it wasn't.
That was 99. I'm jumping for you.
If it was Landstorm, I would have,
No, you wouldn't
remembered this.
No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't have.
No, you're pretty bad.
I like Landstorm.
You name me one match that Landstorm has had.
The one versus Chris Candido at Heatwave.
Ah, touche, salesman.
Whoa!
Touche!
Boom!
Name me one other match. Let's do that.
You're an asshole.
Exactly. You can't.
Not offhand.
Like all of the matches he's had tagging with Chris Candido against the Dudleys.
Yeah. Right. What was the tag team that he and Chris Jericho had? What were they called? Yeah, you're not a Lance Storm fan. Get out of here. Piss off.
I like him. What do you want me to do?
Well, if you like him so much, follow him on Twitter, and he will take you through every Clash of the Champions in existence.
Yes, he will.
I love him.
Oh, man. Why?
I love Lester.
He needs to release a book of those blogs, by the way.
He should. He released his blogs that he wrote while he was in WCW.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But
all right.
Regardless, Sabu actually did... gave an Arabian face buster to the lovely Shane Douglas.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's
actually how the match ended, which is about probably the only exciting part of this match, even though it was, Sabu and Rob Van Dam.
While you're doing that, I'm looking for this mystery man that no one knows the name of, apparently.
But he is, he does earn his title shot because of this. He does earn his title shot at Guilty as Charged.
Ooh, Guilty as Charged. That's next year, isn't it?
Guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took a long break between
this was the last one.
Yeah.
It's
okay, 1998.
I'm looking.
What are we thinking about right now?
What?
Sabu, Rob Van Dam, and...
Yeah,
and
hold
Taz
on, I almost got
versus
it.
Versus...
And Taz.
It was Taz!
It was
Duh.
Taz. Remember.
Versus Shane Douglas, Bam Bam Bigelow.
That's why I said, he was doing double company
Candido.
Because it was the triple threat.
Remember me if you can.
And we forgot him.
Sorry, Taz. We love you.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. Not at the moment.
No, we don't. He's not thug-like born anymore.
Right. No, yeah, that's true. Now we do not. I still think it was really funny when Taz beat Bam Bam a heat wave and Shane was like, no, no, no. And he just gives, I was like, is this prequel to Daniel Bryan? Is that what's going on?
Daniel Bryan stole his idea from Shane Douglas. See, that's going to be a shoot interview. Watch. He stole the gimmick from me, brother.
Brother. But that was really
good. He didn't steal it from Diego Sanchez. He stole it from me.
And he ran off pouting and crying like a little girl, as usual.
He does that, though.
Yeah.
He does.
He very much does. He should do
Dean Douglas, bless him.
He should do a KC timeline.
Who?
Dean Douglas.
No, he shouldn't.
I think he'd more. Wow. I think he'd be more articulate than New Jack. I think I'd actually watch that and enjoy it.
Granted, Shane Douglas was like a backstage interviewer for that company in Nashville for a while.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, you can do it.
Him and
Terry, plus, his promos as Dean Douglas were pretty good, actually.
Him and Terry Taylor. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. Do you remember that show that we covered? Was it the World Cup of Wrestling?
Oh, brother.
Oh, God.
All right.
Anyway.
WCW. Let's get to the main event, and I use that term very loosely. WCW.
Okay, you want to talk about your favorite match last, I'm guessing.
Well, let's see. Yeah, we'll go out of order. Because we had World War III, and as I mentioned, this is the pay-per-view that is basically there to build to Starrcade. And we all know what Starrcade 1998 was, and so that makes me furious.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, you will wait to hear Dez's anger next month.
Oh, Christ, I'm not looking forward to it.
Okay, and we'll tell you the backstory, because it's an interesting, well, it's not really interesting, it's more stupid backstory to
yes,
that.
It is. Nash is booking her at this time.
Yes, this is Nash booking. Okay, you just told them the backstory, never mind.
So.
Predictable of all predictables.
Oh, God, this is so dumb. So, yeah, this was the World War III, for those who don't know, is the 60-man battle royal with three rings, because God knows you need 60 people.
Right. Didn't they learn their lesson with Battle Bowl?
And to be fair, WCW is the only company that I could think of that I would believe that they had 60 men on the roster.
Yeah, at that time.
Yeah.
When WWE tried to do a 40-man Royal Rumble, how much they struggled?
Oh, my God. It was all jobbers.
Jobbers, and then they had to bring back people like Booker T.
Yeah. There were like 10 people that actually mattered. Not counting Diesel.
Randy Orton did double duty that night. It was hilarious.
Oh, man. So, anyway, the entire undercard of the show just sickened me. It was all disqualifications and countouts and non-starts, so they just fought and there wasn't even a match. Advertised matches that didn't even...
Okay, tell me about these advertised matches.
Well, we had an epic encounter with Sonny Ono and Ernest the Cat Miller.
You leave Ernest the Cat Miller alone.
An epic encounter between those two.
You leave Cat the Cat alone. I like Ernest the Cat Miller. I like the way he dances. No,
he had no place on this show.
Did he dance?
No, he wasn't dancing at this point. He was doing karate.
Of course he was. Yeah.
He was a serious... They were trying to put him off as
play
a serious
him as a
threat.
Serious martial artist,
yes.
Yes,
it was hilarious.
Was he in Ring of Honor for a while?
Was he? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he did some training for Ring of Honor, at least. Hmm.
We had an epic battle between Wrath and Glacier.
I do remember it. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah. I hated the show so much.
Wrath and Glacier. That's all you need to know. Just say their names.
We had Stevie Ray. Stevie Ray, I must have missed this, but he joined the NWO at some point, and that made Booker T very
sad. Remember, he turned his back on Booker.
Oh, yeah. But then Booker left, and Booker came back like a month later, and now he's like, oh, I'm sad that my brother joined the NWO.
It was a month ago.
He just came back.
Okay.
So they completely forgot about it for like 3 weeks.
Remember when Matt cost Jeff the WWE title, and they took Jeff off TV until the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
And brought him like, hello?
Yeah. Oh, man.
By the way, Stevie Ray, before we move on.
Yeah.
One of the most articulate men I think I've ever heard.
Isn't he, though?
Uh-huh.
He's a great talker.
Although his commentary was horrible towards the end of WCW.
All right. So we have Scott Steiner.
Oh, no.
Accompanied by Buff Bagwell and a random referee. I think this was their attempt at parodying Bill Alfonso.
Yeah.
Versus Rick Steiner. And
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
They're having this match now?
Yes. Finally. They had a match last month, but for some
reason... Oh, yeah, but it was a non-start, wasn't it?
Yeah. So they're doing it again. And guess what? Surprise of all surprises, before they can even come out to the ring, we see Rick Steiner getting beat up backstage. Yeah.
Holla if you hear me.
I hate this company. I hate this company so much.
Is he Big Papa Pump yet?
No, he hasn't been calling himself yet that yet.
Oh.
But he's basically that character.
Yeah. Has he got his freaks yet?
No.
Okay, so, yeah. He hasn't really developed it yet, has he?
No, not yet. So, yes, they come out and they fight, and Scott Steiner hits a low blow because that seems to be his favorite move.
And considering then, he's got so many other moves that he could do.
Yes. And then Goldberg comes out and he spears Scott Steiner and everyone loves it. And that's the world champion's only appearance on this show.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, he won the title when? Back in August, something like that, wasn't it? July, August, something like that.
It was like in August because he beat Hogan for it.
And he's defended the title how many times on pay-per-view? Once.
Once at Halloween Havoc. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not booking. I'm not Kevin Nash.
This reminds me of that DX thing with Dusty. See, if he was here, we wouldn't have let him do that.
We also had Chris Jericho defending the television title against some guy by the name of Bobby Duncum. I don't know, but they had a 10-minute match, and it was really boring.
Jericho can't do work miracles, Jed.
Jericho won. It was not very.
Of course he did.
Nothing fruit about this.
He never mentioned this in his book.
I wonder why.
Yeah. It's not on any of the DVDs either.
Oh, and surprise, Kevin Nash won World War III.
Really?
Match with three rings, he won.
Is that this their version of the Royal Rumble, in other words?
Yeah. Now let's talk about my favorite thing.
Actually, you're not going to tell me about DDP versus Bret Hart?
Yeah, sorry. DDP fought Bret Hart. They fought for a long time. Then,
I love that. They had a fight. They fought for a long time.
It was a while. Finally,
it was a bloody long match, wasn't it?
They tried to screw Bret with another referee.
What month are we in, Des?
This is November.
And what happened last November?
Oh, Jesus. That's true. So they tried to screw Bret, but this was Bret trying to screw DDP. See, the table.
I thought he said he wasn't never going to let that happen again.
Well, if he was on the screwing side, then it's different.
Hypocrite.
He was screwing them. And so he tried, but then Billy Silverman decided to be a badass, who was the official referee for the match, and he said,
yes, I like Billy Silverman.
And he said, hell no! And he did not allow the other referee's decision to stand. And so he came back in, and then DDP hit the diamond cutter, and he won, and everyone was happy.
Was it Little Nate?
No, it was some random referee. I never got his name.
Oh, okay. It wasn't Nick Patrick or Little Nate.
No.
Little Nate will make an appearance next month.
So that was the main event. But I stand out for this. It almost saved the show, but the show was just too horrible. Otherwise, it would have saved it. Rey Mysterio and Juventud Guerrera.
Ah.
My God, were these men great in 1998.
Yes.
And they used all three rings, and they did it so well.
Really?
Yes. They went from ring three into ring two, back to ring one, and they just kept going from ring to ring, trying to kill each other.
I wonder how far the rings were apart.
Probably not that far, because they were able to jump from ring to ring.
Oh, okay.
It was awesome.
Wow.
Yes, they had a great 15-minute match. It ruled.
Wow, they actually gave them time?
And this is what I don't understand, though. I understand it, but I think it's stupid. So, if you recall, Rey Mysterio was forced to join the LWO because he lost a match to Eddie Guerrero. So, he's forced, and he comes out, and he's wearing the LWO shirt, and he wrestles Hoovy, and he beats Hoovy, and he wins. And then he just throws the LWO shirt away, as if to say, all right, I'm champion. I guess I don't have to be in the LWO anymore.
But you made that rule up.
But you lost the match on Thursday, right? So you have to be. It doesn't matter if you're the champion. You still have to wear the shirt.
Maybe they'll talk about that tomorrow night on Nitro.
Perhaps they will address it. Yes, and maybe they'll show us a replay of the main event again.
Because God forbid this one didn't go out, did it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I didn't know the last one did either, though, until they brought it up on Nitro.
I hope so. I just find it funny that the WWF keep referencing it.
So yes, that was World War III. A right disaster. Christ.
Ay, ay, ay. Kevin Nash will be facing one Bill Goldberg. Surely Goldberg has to go over.
Surely. It makes no sense for Kevin Nash. I mean, Kevin Nash is booking, but ego can't trump, you know, what's good for business.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's not what's best for business.
Well, we'll see.
Now.
Let's talk about Vince Land.
Deadly Game. Because that's what the tournament is called, Deadly Game. Right. Now, the first match was Mick Foley versus X.
Who's X?
And X turned out to be a former WWF superstar. And people were chanting HBK at this point, so they thought it would be Shawn Michaels, but it wasn't. Which made me sad. And he wasn't ready to come back anyway. He probably wouldn't remember if he did. He was a former WWF superstar. He had a great one-loss record. He then jumped ship to WCW, but had a shoulder injury, and is now back in the WWF. Ladies and gentlemen, Mankind's first opponent in the WWF title tournament is Dwayne Gill. Mankind promptly pins him in about a minute. The Mankind is through. Can you tell where this is going?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell where this is going? Yes, right.
Yeah.
Now, the next match has one Stone Cold Steve Austin in it. And his first round opponent is Mr. McMahon's head of security, the man who likes to eat dogs, the big boss man. A year down the line, never mind. Now, boss man's sole objective in this match is basically to put Austin out. Forget the win-loss. Forget, you know, being WWF champion. His sole objective is to put Austin out. So he gets himself disqualified by smashing Austin in the ribs with a nightstick. God bless him. So Austin is through. Shamrock and X-Pac have a really good match because they can actually work at this point.
Right.
No, sorry. It wasn't Shamrock. It was X-Pac and the real man.
The man's man.
The man's man.
Such a man.
They have a very good match for 10 minutes. It's very, very good. I really enjoyed it. And they both get counted out. So Austin gets a bye in the next round. McMahon is not a happy bunny. Because Austin is hurt and he wants to, you know, he wants to exploit this. Goldust and Jeff Jarrett have a match.
Well, come on. Tell us more about the epic.
Al Snow progresses. He beats somebody. So Al Snow and Mick Foley are in the quarterfinals on pay-per-view.
Awesome.
They have a match. And it turns out to be a comedy match because for some reason, Vince McMahon, to make Mick Foley angry, has tied Socko around head. So Mick Foley sees this and gets all angry and probably puts the mandible claw and beats Al Snow. Bless him. That's the first and last time he's going to be in a WWF Championship tournament. He can piss off now.
Yeah.
Kane and Undertaker have a match. Paul Bearer distracts Kane and Undertaker promptly wins. The Rock progresses. He beats the big boss man because Triple H is injured. You know, it's a WWF record. He beats him in 4 seconds.
There you go.
Yeah. So the semi-finals. Mick Foley versus The Rock. Not The Rock. That's the final. Sorry. Mick Foley versus Stone Cold Steve Austin and Undertaker versus The Rock. Now, this is where things get interesting. Mick Foley and Austin have a match. Austin promptly stuns Mick Foley. And the referee's about to count to three. And then Vince McMahon miraculously, guess what, Dez? He's healed.
What?
He gets up and pulls the referee out the ring.
The power of God.
Oh.
God.
It's a miracle. No,
this is before he has a beef with God.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's still a religious man by this point, probably.
Oh, him and God.
Damn it.
That is an epic feud. That
it is an epic feud that he referenced on Raw the other week.
That's true.
That's right.
So he promptly takes out this referee. So Austin then stuns Mick Foley again. He's about to win the matching. Shane McMahon comes out. Now, Shane McMahon's a very decent fellow.
Yeah, he is.
So one, two, and four, five, and six, and seven, but there's no three. He promptly then gives Austin the middle finger, you know, the two-finger salute, and he's screwed Austin.
What?
And Mankind progresses to the final.
Oh.
And the McMahons hightail out of the arena.
So Shane,
what do they?
Shane showed his true colors.
He did show his true colors. He's a McMahon at heart, of course.
Austin didn't screw Austin?
No, Shane McMahon screwed Austin. Don't preempt the main event. Now, the second semi-final is Undertaker versus The Rock. Now, Des, you've seen a few Undertaker Rock matches, I'm assuming.
I have.
They don't usually have the best chemistry, do they?
No, they do not. They're very clunky with each other.
Except for the No Way Out 2002 match, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Anyway.
That was a great match.
You don't even remember it.
I do.
Who won?
I didn't watch it at the time, but I watched like bits of it later.
Yeah, you didn't enjoy it. Shut up.
See what I have to put up with?
they have a really good match, actually. Tell a story. Undertaker's basically dominating, then Kane. And guess who comes out and causes a disqualification?
Kane.
No.
God damn it.
So the Rock
is
in the final. And they're tearing each other. Undertaker is mad. He's mad and starts killing everybody.
Yeah.
And then we get to the best match of the night. Jacqueline versus Sable.
You lie.
Of course I lie. Jacqueline finally, Finally, Sable wins. Finally. God, thank you.
So is the feud over?
God, I hope so.
Please say there was no post-match shenanigans.
No, there was no post-match. Sable was crying. King was crying.
Why was Sable crying? She won.
Because this is her first women's title.
I forgot about that.
It's supposed to matter, huh?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's not like Paige nowadays who just kills people.
Yells, oh, this is her house.
Yeah, it's her house.
It's her house.
See, Paige would never let Sable win.
No.
God bless
her. That'd be an interesting match.
No, it wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't. Paige would kill her.
I know. Why it would be interesting.
No. I want Paige to do what she did to AJ to Sable. Throw off the stage. That's fun. My house. Anyway. Then we have a triple threat tag team match. Now get this team. Get these teams. The Outlaws, who are super over. Because, you know, they're a part of D-Generation X.
Right.
You have the Headbangers. I don't know why they're there still.
Wow.
Hey, it's better than the Ring of Honor run recently.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh.
Jesus. And then you have Dino Brown and Mark Henry. Now, you know, Dino back in 98 was really talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I don't know.
Like, that guy was legit talent. He had so much talent, yes. I thought he was going to go far.
Well, he, like, back dropped a guy on his head, didn't he?
Huh?
Didn't he, like, drop draws on his head?
Yeah.
It's probably just...
It could have been anybody, though, to be fair.
Yeah, probably just killed his confidence, though.
It probably did, but wowee. Again, yeah. You know what? Credit to Droz, though. He didn't blame D-Lo for that.
No, he didn't.
It could have been anyone. If anybody's ever seen that, it's horrible.
Yeah, it was very scary.
It's kind of like when Zema Ion did that thing.
Yeah, with Jesse Sorensen.
With Jesse Sorensen. Ooh, that was scary. And then TNA was stupid and didn't help with them anyway.
Mm.
Let's not talk about them.
Yeah.
They're dead anyway.
They're a non-entity.
They're dying.
They're dying. Very slowly.
And in 20 years, we can do a throwback vibes to Bound for Glory 2014. And it'll be the first time anyone's ever watched it.
We're not going to do it, you know?
I know.
Even in 10 years when we get into the 500th episode of Throwback Vibes, we're not going to do it.
No.
Never touch TNA ever again.
Never.
We'll do Unbreakable 2005, and that's it. And then we get to the... Oh, and Outlaws retain their tag titles. It was a crap match.
Yay. Good times. Sounded like fun.
It was. The intro was fun, because, you know, the Outlaws always do a good, fun intro.
They do.
Oh, by the way, there's, you know, China?
I do.
She's not going to be on TV until her lawsuit is over, apparently.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
I hope it's resolved by tomorrow night on Raw.
Oh, dear.
Maybe
me.
It will be. Maybe it will be. Maybe it won't be. Maybe she'll bring in into transvestite. Who knows?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That was in 1999, don't worry.
I know, yeah.
China.
One night in China, apparently.
Wrestling in the 90s, God.
Yeah. WWE in 99, if Austin and The Rock weren't in it, it was crappy.
Yeah.
Austin, Rock, or Triple H weren't in it, don't even bother watching. Honestly. Apart from No Mercy 99, where Edge and Christian and the Hardys tore it down.
That's true.
Yeah.
There was so much crap on those shows.
Now, let's get to this main event. The Rock, he's the people's champion. Remember this. He is the man. Now that Austin's not in the tournament, the fans are solely behind Dwayne Johnson. Rocky Maivia. Die, Rocky, die. Rocky sucks. You know how it goes. He is the people's champion. He is beloved by everybody. Oh, and here's a clue. He's flown his family in to watch this pay-per-view.
Oh.
Do you think? Can destiny come true? Is his destiny like Alberto Del Rio?
Why would he fly his family in if he's in a he's in a tournament?
Right.
Exactly. Well.
What if you lose, like, in the first round?
Exactly. He could have lost to the Big Boss Man.
Wouldn't that have sucked? No. You fly your family in and you lose to the Big
Actually,
Boss
guys,
Man.
This is what's going to happen.
He's going to lose to the Big Boss Man in 4 seconds. And Mick Foley, you know, he's, bless his heart, he's had his brain scrambled so many times, he thinks Vince McMahon is on, you know, he's the chosen one, to quote a certain other person. Oh, and guess what? The McMahons are back!
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
They're going to be sitting at ringside.
Oh, God.
Now, what happened last year when Vince McMahon was sitting at ringside in 1997? Surely not.
No, no.
No.
He wouldn't do that again.
No.
He wouldn't do it again in the Kiel Center.
Not at the Kiel Center, anywhere but there.
Kiel Center.
Not the Kiel Center in St. Louis. I still miss the iPod Center, but anyway, that's my favorite one.
The iPods.
Yeah.
Yeah, the iPod Center. Yeah, she doesn't know what the iPod Center is.
You don't listen to these shows enough.
The iPod Center. It's in New Jersey, I think.
They should have the Kaboombox Center.
The Kaboombox Center.
Yes, they should. I was just thinking that, too.
Oh, The Kaboom Box Center. Where could that be, though? Milwaukee.
There Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee Kaboom Box
Center. The Milwaukee Kaboom Box Center.
So does that mean here they should have the Vanilla Coke Center?
Nope. Get out.
That was solely for Faraz.
I do like Vanilla Coke, though.
I know. That's why I did it.
Pretty terrible.
Vanilla but they had the Pepsi Center, so that's fine. Piss
yeah.
off.
Yeah, get out.
Yes, so... And apparently Vince McMahon has told Earl Hebner, because, you know, Earl Hebner always listens to Vince.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly.
He's told him there'll be no disqualifications and no count out, because we're going to be guaranteed, damn it, a new WWF champion. And they have a match. And, you know, Mick Foley and The Rock have really good chemistry.
Yeah, they do, damn it.
Yeah. Damn it. They work really well together in the ring. They told a very good story of how the odds were stacked against The Rock, and he was kind of like WrestleMania 17, just a couple of years early.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Although in that sense, Austin had the odds stacked against him. And anyway, we'll get to that in a second. So they have a really good match. They did a couple of good stops. Foley obviously has to do a table bump because he's Mick Foley. And guess which table he went through? Can anybody guess?
The Spanish one.
The Spanish one.
Of course.
That Spanish announce table.
God bless it.
God bless the Spanish fucking announce table.
They do a couple of chair shots. Mick Foley takes a few in the head. It's not the first time, and it certainly won't be the last by The Rock's hands. And to get to the finish, The Rock hits a rock bottom, and then guess what he does? Guess. Just guess. He doesn't go for the people's elbow. Just can anybody guess? You guess? Anybody? He goes for the sharpshooter.
Oh, God damn it.
Whoa.
And as soon as he puts the sharpshooter on, Vince McMahon calls for the bell.
Oh, Christ.
And for a while, everyone's thinking, eh?
Wrestling is stupid.
Yeah. For the longest time, I was thinking, huh? What the hell? And they were all in it all along. And guess what, Des? Sam, guess what?
What?
Vince McMahon said, it wasn't Vince McMahon who screwed the people. It was the people that screwed the people.
Somehow, for some reason.
Well, no, they do explain it because, you know, The Rock was a bit fed up with all the die, Rocky sucks. He hasn't forgotten. Mm. He hasn't forgotten. But that's for another. Now, I was a bit annoyed by the end of this paper, not just because of this stupid ending. Right, you got a new WWF champion, right?
Yes, finally.
So what better way than to bury him by Austin killing him when he comes out later?
Awesome.
Of course.
Stupid.
Of course.
So you got to make the fans have to go home happy. So every pay-per-view, Austin has to stun somebody at the end.
Yes.
So guess who it is?
You can't just let the champion revel in his heelishness and let him go and celebrate with the McMahons. No. Surely not.
No.
Austin has to come out and stun The Rock and beat the crap out of him.
Well, you know.
No, you don't know, Des.
Which I'm sure begins and leads to the epic trilogy that is The Rock and Austin at WrestleMania.
Indeed, but we've got a little way to go before then, because a certain other superstar wins the title before Austin does.
Well, quite, but he's a transitional champion. That'll put out.
He is a transitional champion. They did it for the feel-good moment and to win the ratings war.
Yeah, they did.
Of course they did.
But that's for January 1999. We've still got one more month to go here yet.
Yay. But for now, we're going to have to put a cap on things because I have to go. So make sure to follow us on Twitter at Des Delgadillo, at The Wisp. What's your Twitter, Sam?
At Latino Heat 120. You always ask me what it is, and I think it's kind of hilarious.
I'm pretty bad at remembering people's Twitters.
Except mine.
Hashtag West Coast Wispy.
Woo!
Subscribe on iTunes.
What the hell was that?
Leave a review. That was like Ric Flair, but like.
Oh, and by the way, Des, if they want to, excuse me, they can go to thingsdessays.net.
Yes.
And they can click on the thing that says click here.
Click here.
And if they really, 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 really want to, they can relive the epic night that was Survivor Series 1998.
You can. Deadly game.
You can relive it by purchasing the DVD or buy the anthology, which, you know, you can get more bargain for your money then.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buy the anthology. It's better.
Amazon.com, and we get a little bit of a percentage.
Plus, if you buy the anthology, it's a little bit more expensive, so
we get more money on that.
Get a lot more.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So do that. And if you don't do that, well, then Faraz has got two words for you.
Piss off.